Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back on the Andy Finn Show. And I'm here with John Clark. Good evening, John.
Hello, Andy. How are you this evening?
Good. John is a professor at the University of Kentucky in telecommunications, and he's been working in the tech sector and thinking about technology for 20 years or more.
Oh,
How old are you again?
Let's say I've been thinking about it for slightly more than 20 years.
Most of your life, perhaps. You probably had one of those little telephones when you were a child.
Yeah, and I took it apart and never put it back together again.
Well, I've got one
many
of those.
Things?
I've got one of those today.
How many things can I say it's happened to?
But so, John is a professor that teaches telecom and a good friend who I talk with about telecom and about life and other subjects. But tonight we want to talk about some companies that have been in the news. And the first company that was in the news in the last year that I want to talk about is Google. So they were in the news several times, putting libraries online. They're planning to, starting with Harvard and others. Their new email offering, in which they require you to watch ads and keep track of you. And, just the general issue of why Google's so popular.
Because it's got a great name.
So let's start with the name. What do you know about the origin of the name?
Oh, it's a misspelling of... Let's see. How does that word really spelled? Anyway.
It's G-O-G-G-L-E. I think there's two G's instead of two O's in a Google.
Goggle?
It's a Google.
G-O-G-G-L-E?
Oh, that is goggle, isn't it? Maybe it's G-O-G-L.
G-O-G-O-L maybe is what it is.
I forgot the other spelling, but the original meaning of Google is.
Or is that a Russian author? The original meaning of Google is it's a lot of something.
Well, it's even more precise than that. I can remember when my brother Mike...
I'm just forgetting what it is.
My brother Mike came home from high school one day, and he's telling us that he knows what the largest number in the universe is. And I said, no, you can always add one to it. I learned that trick years ago.
Sure.
And he says, it's a Google. And I turned to my brother, and I said, can that be right? And we thought he was joking, but that's what he learned. And it isn't that it's the largest, because you could add to it, but that they don't need a bigger number because it's a one followed by a million zeros.
Right.
And so you can have a lot of Googles, but you can have a million Googles, but you don't need a bigger number than a one followed by a million zeros.
Well, that's about the largest number I can possibly come.
And so the principle of it is, and you're right, it's a changed spelling. It's not the word mm-hmm. the word Google. I get the connection to be you can find millions of hits, you know, millions of things you're looking for on the internet,
right.
Or maybe things you're not looking for.
Right, and millions more every day. Of course, one of the things about Google that we've found out that's been a controversy since, probably early last year, was the fact that Google searches can do searches on all the documents on your server, whereas other search engines search web pages. It turns out that Google, you know, in successfully accessing a server, searches all the HTML pages, but also is capable of searching every other document on the server, and that includes your Word files and your PDF files and PowerPoint files and all that kind of thing.
Well, let's stop there because that is a new addition to the things in the news last week. And my take on that was this, that they offered a service whereby you could now install it in addition to your browser, I guess it was, or whatever it is, so that when you Googled, you could also say you wanted it to Google your machine as well as the whole internet, so that on any given search, they would search your own files. That's how I understood when that hit the news. Are you saying that it's different and that whenever they send their crawler out to look at a web page, they are capable, and you're not saying they're grabbing it, but they are capable of of looking at all your other files?
Oh, they absolutely are.
And are they doing that?
They are doing that, and that points out the need for people to be safety-minded when they're posting to servers. Now, if you have a server and you use part of it to serve web pages, and that has an IP address and it's connected to the internet, you know, and you want people to access it, then Google can certainly access it and then also access and search every other file on the server. Which just points out the great need if you're going to have a web server, that's all it does. It doesn't do anything but act as a web server. Aside from that, knowing that your other files may be accessed, there are steps you can take to protect them from searches by Google by putting them behind a firewall. But it has to be a separate firewall than where your where your web pages are,
right?
Because obviously, then there'd be no access.
Well, and
web.
Of course, for a lot of people out there, the way out of this is to put your website on somebody's web server and lease the space at $7.77 a month, or it's gotten quite cheap.
Yeah,
and not try and maintain your own
if that's the level that you're operating on. But now you certainly don't want to set your personal computer up as a web server. That's the last thing in the world you want to do.
That's
now,
true.
If you want to maintain your own web server, that's fine. But make sure that you buy a computer and devote it to doing nothing but serving web pages. Otherwise, certainly, Google can search everything on your computer, anything that's open to the web.
Well, and that brings us to the other issue we mentioned, which was putting libraries online. So they made an announcement this year. It sounds like a pretty ambitious plan.
Ambitious is hardly the word for it. It will take, oh, they're starting off. University of Michigan and Stanford University have agreed to have their entire library scanned. And then one of the Ivy League schools, maybe it's Harvard.
Harvard is in there, yep.
Has agreed to let certain things be scanned. But if you can imagine, Stanford, the entire library of Stanford and University of Michigan will be scanned eventually and then will be online, available, and searchable by, you know, any number of key terms.
I hope they remember not to scan the books twice that they have multiples of.
You think they're going to do all 60 Hardy Boy books?
I'm guessing the Hardy Boys series is not in the Stanford Library.
It may be more than 60. I bet you it's in the education library.
I'll bet you it's in the New York City Public Library, which is the only non-university library, I believe, that was included in this original list of libraries.
Well, the fact is, regardless of which libraries we start out with and what's scanned, and put online, it's an amazing project. It's huge, and they think that the initial step, the first stage of the project, they're projecting it 7 years, and that's just to get going.
Well, and one of the things was that they're planning is the first stage, I believe, is 40,000 books, and I think it's from Harvard for some reason, but 40,000 books. And I'm thinking that's only I went through this at one point when this came out in the news on the show, and I think Harvard has like 14.6 million books. Right, so they're going to take 40,000 of the books. And that 40,000 seems like a lot of books. And it could take many months, certainly, and depending on the staff, years.
Years.
40,000 books?
Years. Oh, my gosh.
So you think that's
the
7 years?
Think about 40,000. What did you say, 14.6 million?
Yeah, that's the whole collection.
Oh, golly.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of crap in there.
No kidding. Well, which brings up the question.
How do you get rid of the crap?
What will they scan first? And how will they choose it? What are the criterion? What disciplines? Will they get around to novels? Is it all going to be scientific, social science?